Would you bow your heads with me? Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, when it comes to life, and I don't know why, in the fall, I tend to think more about life. I don't know if I'm entering the autumn of my life or what it is. But when it comes to life, I'm always wondering why some people seem to get it and others don't. I know that I can get incredibly distracted. I know there's certain things that I get when it comes to naming celebrities, when it comes to keeping track of all of the sports. I like to watch, I love to play, but I don't get how some people just know who all the players are. And they know their position. And they know everything about it. So in that area of my life, I don't get it. But I appreciate it. Now, when it comes to life in general, I'm sure you can name people who just sort of seem to get it. They get people. They get when circumstances happen. They get when bad things happen. They understand when good things happen. And they know something about that. And then there's plenty of us that oftentimes don't understand. And they say, why me? And they say, what's going on? And they never quite feel like they're where everybody else is. And you know, the distractions don't help. There are so many big issues. There are so many big news stories going on. But I want to show you in a story where God is working out his salvation of the entire planet for all people. And it does not look like big news. It's not online anywhere for lots of people to see. But in the lives and the situations and the choices of ordinary, regular people. Let me say that again. God's salvation is worked out in the lives and the situations and the choices of ordinary, regular people. If you're not one of those that everybody looks to and admires, know you're probably right where God wants you to be. Even during this time of the judges, from 1300 BC for 300 years, as we talked about last week, it is a dark and ugly time. Remember what happened? Everybody does what's right in their own eyes. Israel had no king, and they were constantly in bondage. In the time of the judges, in dark and ugly times, is when this story takes place. And today, some of us need to remember that's when and where God does his best work, intercepting our messed up lower stories with his amazing upper story that is triumphing and calling people back to him. Here's a little of the setting. About 1100 BC, Naomi, her husband Elimelech, and their two sons move out of Bethlehem. You know, with Christmas coming up, this all takes place in Bethlehem, in Israel, to the foreign country of Moab. Now, while they're in Moab, across from the Dead Sea, her husband dies. Her two sons, Naomi's two sons, grow up, they marry Moabite women, and then her sons also die, or most likely they are killed. This is a hostile foreign nation in which they escaped the famine. Naomi's left with two daughters-in-law, who are Moabite women, and in her great grief, she prepares to go back to her homeland in Bethlehem. Her two daughters-in-law are named Ruth and Orpah, and they come to her and they plead to go with her back to Bethlehem. And that's where we pick up the account in Ruth chapter 1, starting in verse 11. But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has gone out against me." She's blaming God here, isn't she? At this, they wept again. And then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and to her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. In Moab, Orpah and Ruth grew to love Naomi, their mother-in-law, and she loved them. And suddenly, Naomi's two sons are killed, and now Naomi is living in a foreign land. Her husband is gone, and her sons are gone. In terms of her story, we would say this is a very bad story. Finally, Naomi hears the drought in Bethlehem is over, and so she plans to go back, and she tells her two daughters-in-law to stay with their people. She genuinely wanted the girls to stay there. She knew it would be a tremendous sacrifice for them as younger women to go with her back to Bethlehem, to a foreign country for them. And Orpah did what most of us do. She kissed her, and she hugged her, and she told her how much she loved her, and she went back to her home. You know, that's what most of us do when somebody is in that depth of need, isn't it? Someone needs our help, and we offer to help, and we genuinely mean it. We say, if you need anything, call me. How many people have said that besides me? A lot. If you need anything, call me. Do you mean it? Of course you mean it. We offer to help, and they say, no thanks, I don't need it, and we accept that. But you know what? They never call, do they? No matter what they're facing. That's what Orpah did, and that's what so many of us do. But look what Ruth did, which is what makes her exceptional. And here's one key to seeing God move in our lives today, and it changes everything. And Ruth gets it. She gets life. She gets people. She knows there are times when God calls us to stick by someone, even when they pretend or believe that they don't need our help. You've had it happen. We say, call me if you need anything, right? We feel better when we say it. We mean it, and they never call. But you know what people who have been through tragedy say? They say stuff like this. You know what ministered to me the most was when she showed up and said, I've got 2 hours. What can I do? Okay, I'll do your dishes. Okay, I'll cut your grass. Let me do some dusting. It was the woman or the man who showed up on the doorstep and said, I'm here. It was that person I will never forget. Don't you want to be that person for someone? The fact is, sometimes we move away from people who seem to be going through hard times rather than sticking to them because we don't know what to say and we're afraid it's going to be awkward. Or we don't want their bad luck rubbing off on us, whatever it is. Or we're suspicious they brought it on themselves, like it's contagious or something. But that's what Ruth did. She knew. She understood life in that way. Now, who inspired her to do this? God. But wait, isn't she Moabite? Wouldn't that be like a woman in a burqa coming into an Iowa cornfield and saying, here, I'm here to help? Maybe. That's how unique the cultures were at that time. Who inspired her to do this? God did. You see, Ruth had lived in Naomi's home for years by now, and Ruth had never known a woman like Naomi. Ruth saw what God was like through her. Ruth heard the story of God's redemption, of God's calling of his special people, of calling them to holiness, to be set apart for God, that people would see the light of God in and through them. Ruth was treated in a way that no other Moabite woman had ever been. And by now, Ruth had experienced something of God's way. She had heard the Shema, behold, there is one God, and the truth of the scriptures. And by now, God was speaking to her. Did you catch it? When Ruth said to Naomi, your God will be my God. Scholars agree that this was a confession. This is a biblical confession. Ruth is now a believer in the living God. She had crossed the line of faith. She was turning to the true God. And turning to God makes a difference. Have you or have you not turned to God? Unlike many people today, Ruth would not say all religions are the same. Naomi had shown her a better way, the true God of all life. The lesson here is, you know, for some of you, it's this: change. Worship God. Read His Word. Understand the narrative. Plug into a group. If you want to experience new life, give yourselves over and plug into a group. Will it be awkward? It might be. Do you think it was awkward for Ruth and Naomi? Probably. But when you see how God worked in their lives from this point on, turning to the true God makes a difference. Naomi had shown her a better way. And the lesson here is this: change, get serious, get passionate. Remember, passionate does not mean emotional. So swallow your pride and tell the person who needs to know, your God will be my God. I'm sticking with you. Unlike many people today, Ruth would not say all religions are the same. I'm sticking with the living God who keeps showing up. Another thing that we see in how Ruth goes with Naomi and their adventures, their mishaps, their what happens to them in Bethlehem, is God works when we commit to solutions. So Ruth and Naomi go to Bethlehem. Ruth moved to Bethlehem. She didn't sit around there and vent. Remember, it's No Vent November. She didn't bemoan her situation of losing a husband, losing her homeland, and her victimization. She took what psychologists call a solutions-based approach to her healing. She took a solutions-based approach to her healing. In Bethlehem, she went out. She went out in the field every day to glean some of the leftover grain. You see, when all of the workers were gathering the grain, they were instructed by God to leave some so that the poor, wherever their circumstances, would be able to go out in the field and follow along in the workers and glean for themselves some of those leftovers. That was Ruth. That was Ruth, this immigrant woman that the people in Bethlehem noticed. And they also noticed this: Ruth was taking care of Naomi. Women couldn't get jobs in that time, but every day Ruth worked and she cared for Naomi. And here's what happened. She brought back the grain. The townspeople noticed. And though she was a Moabite, she was a woman with a heart for the living God. And the man who owned the field's name was Boaz. And he watched this happen day by day. And he started to have feelings for Ruth. And he wanted for her. Not just for her beauty or her makeup or clothes, because you don't wear that when you're gleaning grain in the field. He fell in love with her heart. So Boaz said to his servants — this is all in the book of Ruth, which you can read in about 15 minutes. Boaz says to his servants, don't harvest quite so much. Let's leave some extra. On accident. Well, pretty soon, Ruth noticed the exceptional character of Boaz, who is generous and giving. And Boaz, we come to find out, is also the kinsman redeemer. In other words, when a man died, if that man had family, in those days, the next nearest relative was responsible to care for the family. So Boaz, this kinsman redeemer relative of Naomi's, who is also the son of Rahab — remember Jericho, Joshua and Jericho? Remember Rahab, the harlot, the prostitute, who hides the spies of Israel, and God brings her into among his people? I think it means that Boaz knew something about what it was like to be an outsider. And Boaz, though he was not as handsome as some or as young as some, Ruth saw into his heart and said, this is the kind of man I would love. Enter Naomi the matchmaker. Ruth, here's how we do it in Bethlehem. Women would find a man sleeping. They would come and they'd take off their sandals. And you got to read the rest for yourselves in chapter 3. And they marry. And they have a son, Obed. But the good news doesn't stop there, because Obed grew. And Obed had a son named Jesse, who has a son, eight sons actually, the youngest of whom is named David, who leads the whole people of Israel into worship and then into the lineage of Jesus himself. Do you see, Ruth is sort of a backstory in some ways. And it shows to us that while the kings and the armies are battling, while the pundits and while the governments are clashing, everything that you do matters. We are not bound by what goes on out there or in here like we think we are. As God shows us in this entire account, named after this amazing, remarkable young woman named Ruth, one of the heroes of our faith. Everything you do matters. At the grocery store, how you handle bad news, how you reach out to a neighbor, when you're in class, how you talk back to your teacher, what you say about other people. Everything you do matters. How you treat people, reading scripture, resting in God, it all adds up. And Ruth also shows us another thing. It shows us how God works. You know, God works most often through people. God works most often through people. We pray. Most of us pray and we ask God to fix things. And when God doesn't, we get hurt or we get mad and we cut ourselves off from God, the one we need most at the time we need him the most. Listen, God works through people. People who have yielded their hearts and yielded their lives to him and have said, Lord, whatever you want from me, I want to do that. Look at what Ruth said to Naomi. Look at how Ruth entered into the culture and started caring in faithful ways for her mother-in-law. My question for you this morning is, what do you say to God? What do you say to God? Is it more like Orpah? Call me if you need me. And she meant it, though. But then she didn't follow through. Okay, God, if you need me, call me. Or more likely, we say, okay, God, if I need you, I'll call. And just like the people we say that to, they never call. How many of us never get around to calling on God? God, if I need you, I'll call. You just stay over there with those people, and I'll do my thing, and we'll leave each other alone until I really need you. Or we go off to our Moab like Orpah, who had experienced a life of faith, who was so close, but then went back to her old culture and her old gods. How often do we go back to our old habits, our old appetites, our old distractions? Because we know them and they're comfortable. I don't want any of us here this morning to be this close and to miss it by going back to our old gods, our old habits, our old ways. You know, it's interesting how in Ruth, God is hardly mentioned. He is several times, but that's it. God is hardly mentioned, but God is behind every scene of their lives. What would that look like if we lived knowing that God is behind every scene of our lives, every phone call of our lives? If God is even behind the planning that I'm thinking about doing in my life. God, you're behind this in a way. God does his best work there, doesn't he? You know, everything in Ruth and Naomi's lower story falls apart. For Naomi, her husband dies. Then they move to a hostile area. And then their sons die. Makes no sense for Ruth to travel with her mother-in-law. But in the midst of it all, God takes their choices. God takes their faithfulness. God takes when Ruth listens, really leans in when Naomi's talking about God. And God says, you know what? That extra lean, I'll take that. I can work with that. When they have this moment where they're weeping together, God says, I'll take that. I can work with that. When Ruth says, I think I'm going to go with you, God says, I'll take that. I can work with that. When Ruth serves and cares for her mother-in-law in great love, God says, I'll take that. God is behind the scenes doing things that these people don't even realize, and yet setting up this lineage for his story to call everyone into freedom and liberation and salvation through his son Jesus. Maybe it's true with our kids today when one kid treats another in the right way. He says, did you see what Noah did? I'll take that. Did you see what Charlotte did? I can use that. Did you see what Jim did? Wow. Can't you see God saying, I can work with that. This means God is at work in daily lives here, just as much as in Bethlehem. And like Boaz, Jesus is the ultimate guardian. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He is the one who would pay the high price for us. He'll redeem all who want his forgiveness to cover them. He'll bring freedom to everybody who opens their hearts and says, God, I'm done with myself. Let me enter this new land with you. We too can say, I'm accepted. I know where I'm heading. Imagine what this church would be like. Imagine what our families would be like if we listened and served like this. You know, I say often what I heard an older woman say 20 years ago at a conference in Cincinnati, Jesus is my next breath. He is my kinsman redeemer. Maybe that's your prayer this morning. We have one of the most beautiful hymns. It's a quiet, prayerful hymn that says, breathe on me, breath of God. Maybe Jesus isn't just my next breath, but maybe he's behind everything that I can see in a way that the only opportunity I have to get there is by trusting in him. As you are thinking about your life, I invite you to sing these words that God's Spirit would come and breathe into you, into the situations you're facing, in such a way that he would bring his healing.